back here on Edge of Sports Radio in the house with a new producer, Dangerous Dan Baker. How you doing, Dangerous Dan?
Dangerous.
Feeling dangerous.
All right. Looking dangerous. I like it. I like it. Look, you see that? That's what I'm trying to get him to feel a little feist. I see it. I see the fire burning. And he's got, he's feeling it. My man. Yeah, Edge of Sports. Here with my man as well. The coach, Kevin McNutt, and me, Mark Barry. Yo, Halloween means two things and two things only. The first, turkey on the table, wild turkey under the table. That's the first thing it means. Second thing, football. Having football on in the house.
You said Halloween, you know that.
Did I just say Halloween?
Yes.
Oh, my God. That. Let me tell you about Thanksgiving.
I won't listen from now on, but go ahead, Dave.
Okay, okay. Like, the first thing you got to remember about Thanksgiving is that it's not Halloween. Yeah. The second thing
nice.
You got to remember is you got to watch some football. And yesterday, the game that I cared about the most, more than any other, Cowboys-Redskins, without question. That game was unbelievable because Cowboys were favored. All the prognosticators, NFL.com, they were all like, the Cowboys are going to win this game. They're the better team playing at home. That all seemed weak, but they pointed out something that was actually really smart, which is Tony Romo, throughout his career, 21-3 in November, with all three of those losses being on the road. And this was being played in Dallas, in the Jerry Dome, in the Boss Hog Bowl.
I mean, this is the first loss that Tony Romo's ever had on Thanksgiving.
On Thanksgiving, I believe he was 6-0 going into this game on Thanksgiving. And that, to me, isn't a BS stat. Like, a BS stat is, oh, the Cowboys are all-time 6-0 against the Redskins on Thanksgiving Day. So what?
Yeah.
Who really cares how they did against Billy Kilmer?
You know, it does not matter.
But it does matter that Tony Romo is like the football equivalent of Dave Winfield when George Steinbrenner used to call him Mr. May. Like Reggie Jackson's Mr. October, you're Mr. May. Yeah. It's like Tony Romo is best when it doesn't matter. That's November. So a lot of people were saying there's no way the Redskins go into the Boss Hog Bowl and win this game. And yet RG3 is the kind of talent who changes games. Changes perceptions. The man has one less touchdown throw in the last 2 weeks than incompletions. Eight TDs the last 2 weeks, 9 incompletions combined the last 2 weeks. So it's an amazing game. It was a lot of fun to watch, very satisfying. The Redskins, after this horrible season where a mere 10 days ago their coach was saying that it was time to reevaluate the players and get ready for next year, they're now actually in a catbird seat for winning this division. If the Giants lose to Green Bay... And the Giants, I don't know if you've seen their schedule the rest of the way, but it's brutal.
It's tough.
Play Atlanta and the Redskins. I mean, they play the Ravens, but so do the Giants. I mean, there's a lot of very good there for the Redskins going forward. And yet I couldn't escape the irony, if you will, of on Thanksgiving Day, cheering for a team called the Redskins. I mean, one would have to be profoundly unself-aware, which I guess accounts for a lot of folks in the D.C. area, but to not get the Thanksgiving, which is in so many ways, shape, or form, a celebration of the mass genocide of an entire people who lived in the Western Hemisphere, the starting point of a mass genocide. And like it's the Native Thanksgiving is like the Native American Kristallnacht. You know, it's like the start of something that led to the extermination of a whole people. And we have to also recognize that there would not be a team called the Cleveland Indians. There would not be a team called the Washington Redskins without that genocide. I mean, I'm serious. Like, even if Native Americans had been enslaved in the 15th, 16th century, if they had lived, they would be a sizable population group in this country, sizable enough to say, we do not accept being a mascot for your teams. The same way if one tried to have a team called the Alabama Blackskins, for example, or the Miami Jews, there would be enough of a base of people who would say that is unacceptable to us, and we do not expect it. So a precondition for there being this team, the Washington Redskins, is genocide as a first point. And so there was something about seeing that on Thanksgiving that was very sharp. But the second thing that needs to be said is that that to me is not even the most compelling reason for changing this name. That's not even the most compelling reason. The most compelling reason is that one could even, I guess, make a case like, for, say, calling a team the Seminoles in Florida State, for example.
Right.
I mean, I don't agree with it, but it's Seminole country. They've talked to the Seminole Nation. They've worked out a financial relationship for them.
Huge.
And most cities in this country have Native American names. you know, Milwaukee. You know, so we're not saying you have to change the name of Milwaukee. We're not saying you have to change the name of Okeechobee, Florida. We're not, you know what I'm saying? It's we're not calling for the massive renaming of everywhere, because a lot of these names came from the fact that this is what the land was actually called. And if a sports team reflects that, at least one could intellectually understand that thought process, even if I disagree with it, because of the mascot aspect of it with regards to sports. But the Redskins are named the Redskins because the person who thought of the name was George Preston Marshall, who was not only an open, proud segregationist, and the Redskins were the last team to integrate in NFL history.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Not only that, but he was somebody who had a great love for minstrelsy and minstrel theater. Mm. And the Redskins at the time were the southernmost team in the National Football League. Mm. And he moved from Boston, the team from Boston, where they were known as, Coach, do you remember what they were called?
Braves?
Yes, my man. The Boston Braves. They say the rule on radio is you never put somebody on the spot if you don't know the answer. But I have so much faith in this man. Some people say God is my co-pilot. Coach is my co-pilot. God is sitting in Coach. That's a compliment.
He knows the brothers are coming. That's all. Don't kiss up to me now, boy. Yeah, it's on.
Man.
You went after my man. Producer. Finish though. Come on, come on.
I thought you were about to say you went after my man, George Preston Marshall.
No, sir.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. That was a joke. You went after my man, God. No, I'm just kidding. Listen, here's the thing about George Preston Marshall, though. If you learn about his own personal history, you learn that he had an abject, open, and proud contempt for people of color. When he died, he left a ton of money. He had it written into his will that none of his money could go to any organization that advocated integration in any form. That was in his will of his foundation. And you may know this, you may not. When he proposed to his wife, he wanted to set up a romantic scene. That's understandable. I proposed to my wife. It was like a surprise. It was on the beach. Like, I set it up. So there was like some flowers and drawings on the chalk drawings on the ground.
Ready,
so it's
Mark.
Like we'd walk there and it would be like, oh, wow. Oh, what's going on here? Flowers. Oh, a note on the ground. What's this? And then I was on one knee. Will you not an uncommon thing.
I did something remarkably similar. Don't worry.
You did? Really?
A little bit.
That's really good. Yeah. What about you, Coach? Let me guess. You spoke to the parents and said, here is a $75. Was that how that worked, Coach?
Close.
It was close. It was like, nice. That's how it was back then. You had, it's like arranged marriages. I'm sorry, Coach.
Beautiful, man. Beautiful.
Sorry. My bad. But here's the thing about Coach. Look,
yes, sir.
We all know that you never would have married someone as beautiful as your wife in a normal fashion. Something,
what are you trying to say?
I'm just saying she's far out of your league. I say with all due respect. Don't worry. I married up too, as did Mark. So we have that in common. It's our point of bonding. But this is how George Preston Marshall did it.
Yes.
This is how he did it. He walked her to a scene and set up a place where it was supposed to look like a pre-Civil War plantation, including African-American women dressed up like slaves.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. I wouldn't joke about that.
I know it. I know. That's what I'm saying.
And playing music, like minstrel songs, and women waiting on them dressed in the Hattie McDaniel, kerchief, and Butterfly McQueen, that whole thing, and proposed to her in that fashion, on a porch. Now, why do I talk about all this? Not just to say he's a disgusting person, and not just to say that this name Redskins belongs in the dustbin of history, not just because it's a racial slur, but because the person who thought of it did it for the worst possible reasons, but also because the people who run the Redskins lie about it. Because I called them up and asked them. I said, what's the deal with this name? Why do you still have it? And they said that it was a tribute to the Red Clay Warriors and their bravery. And what these people did, they're like lecturing me on the phone about the Red Clay Warriors who doused their skin in red clay before they went to battle, and how it was a tribute to their incredible bravery and courage. And the person even said the name of the tribe to me that did it. He was like, the Ootie-Aw-Aw-Aw tribe that did this. And I'm just like, so you're telling me that George Preston Marshall was a sociologist of Native American culture? Okay, that's the inference. So it's absolute garbage. So that's where I come down on the name change, fellas. Yo, this is Edge of Sports Radio. I mean, it's hard to argue with that, right?
No, sir.
Let's be the Washington Dukes, named after Duke Ellington. There's a lot of things we can do. I mean, I think we should even get mad progressive. We could be the Washington Gays after the great Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
I think we've reached a point in our society where we can do that. Hey, this is Edge of Sports Radio. I'm Dave Zirin. We got to go to break right now. We'll be back right after this. Talk to Sekou Smith.
Wow.
Coach,
yes,
you're looking
sir.
Good in those glasses, man.
Edge of Sports Radio with Dave Zirin. We'll return after this.